I think that people get into marriages, and I've seen it happen a lot with women, but I've seen it happen with men too, where they get really comfortable in their rut, if you will. And I think I see with women that they focus all their energy on raising children and on being a mother, and they neglect taking care of themselves. They neglect finding new avocations or pursuing new schools of thought or knowledge.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Today we are joined by John Mann and Anna Mann. If you don't recall, John came on the show on episode 324 to talk about his book, recent book, Steal Fear, but also John is more widely known for his book, The Go-Giver. We are pleased to have John and Anna both on today with the soon outcoming book, The Go-Giver Marriage. John and Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Super excited to have you on today. And also, I forgot to introduce somebody else out of, what is this episode? We're probably episode 430 by the time this show goes live. Wow. I'm joined for the first time by my own wife, Elizabeth Wilson. So welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Sam.
Pleasure to have you on as well. I'm excited to have you on today. Both of us have read this book. You gave us an advanced copy of it. It was tons of fun to read and really just want to kind of dig into the book. Can you guys give us, first off, though, a little brief background on who you guys are and then tell us about the book?
So this is the first book I've ever written with my wife. I've written a lot of over 30 books, but this is our first book together. And so we've known each other for decades, but this is the first time we've been co-authors and collaborators in a book, which has been very, very fascinating and just a joy. My wife, Anna, and I thought of this book. We thought about the idea of this book ever since The Go-Giver itself came out. Back in 2005 is when Bob Berg and I started that book. And so for, you know, coming on two decades, we've had this idea. It was really Anna's idea about a Go-Giver book about marriage. Anna is a clinical family therapist. This is her background. This is her passion. This is her love. She went to grad school. She got her master's in psychology and in family counseling. And she's done an awful lot of different things in her life, as we both have. She's been an entrepreneur. She's been a coach. She's been a public speaker. She's been a health practitioner. She's founded a college of oriental medicine. She's got a rich and varied background. She's just a phenomenal lady in every imaginable way. But this is her like first language, her lingua franca. So it's pretty cool to turn to her roots and join me in this Go-Giver endeavor. And without further ado, Anna Gabriel Mann.
And John is the co-creator of The Go-Giver itself and all the subsequent books, The Go-Giver Leader, Go-Giver Sell More, The Go-Giver Influencer. And, you know, that series has not only exploded around the world, but, you know, over a million copies and still growing by leaps and bounds. People are constantly tweeting about it, constantly, you know, going on Facebook or other social media platforms talking about this book. And, you know, it's been out since 2008. So when this book was first thought about, it was in 2006 when the first copy came off the printer. And that's when John and I sat down and I said, this is a phenomenal book. And it would be incredible to write a version of it about marriage, because ultimately marriage is really about giving. I mean, you get into a relationship, you're going to spend a lot of time together. You have to negotiate and figure out the territory of being together as a couple and what does that mean. But I want to finish by saying that John has written many, many parables, not just in the Go-Giver series. He's written The Latte Factor with David Bach. He wrote Out of the Maze with Spencer Johnson and many more. I could name them all. He is a multiple times New York Times bestselling author. And in the last year, he's written, not only in the last 2 years, he published last summer his first novel to great acclaim. Mm-hmm. It's called Steal Fear. And his second novel, Cold Fear, is launching in June. And we're very excited about that. It's a real new career path for him and one that we're both very excited about.
That's fantastic. I love that. Anna, were there any challenges writing this book? Because you've had so many series in the Go-Giver series. Were there any challenges in saying, how do we create different content or put it in such a way that it's not a repetitive theme? Or I don't know, does that question even make sense? But maybe you can help clarify that for me.
You know, the Go-Giver is such a powerful standalone book and the concepts are so powerful because, you know, giving without expectation of receiving, just having that generosity of spirit is such a powerful concept in any context. And for the last 15 years, both Bob and John constantly get tweets and letters, emails from people all over the world, basically saying that the book had changed their life. And, you know, people have been asking us as a couple for the last 25 years, what is your secret sauce? You know, that's the phrase that we joke about the most, because people will say, well, what is it? Why are you still so fabulously in love? And why are you so close? And really, this book defines that. It really is about that energy of giving, that energy of really caring deeply about the other person's happiness. In terms of challenges, you know, John's written with a lot of co-authors, a lot. And, you know,
I only married one.
Every co-author is a different person. I had published many times in the field of psychology in journals, you know, just articles, things like that. But, you know, we really work very well as a team. I'm his first reader on every book he writes. I think that he considers me a good editor. I sometimes wonder. But yeah, I mean, we didn't bump into anything. In fact, as I came up with different concepts and different thoughts about the way these secrets embody in a marriage and what happens when two people come together, John would go, oh, yeah. You know, we would be just, you know, sort of reveling in the ways that a more psychological premise, if you will, really fits the model of the book.
I can speak to this too. You know, were there any special challenges? So was it difficult? Really, it's yes and no, because the no part is it wasn't difficult because, you know, we didn't, technically speaking, set out to make the original Go Giver a business book. I mean, of course, Bob has been in the field of business and I've been in the field of business. We've both been involved in sales, and that was kind of our swimming pool. But when we originally mocked up the first cover of The Go-Giver, long before we had an agent or a publisher, it was something about five principles of life in business. It was a life book. It's a book about life philosophy. It's a book about how to be a human being and relate to other human beings more than it is about specifically business. And what we found is, you know, Sam, you asked about concerns about being repetitive or how do you not get redundant? And that's a really great question. In any book, maybe any creative endeavor, there's this question of what do you do for a sequel? You know, what do you do next? If something really worked, how do you do the next thing without being repetitive, without being an echo or a shabby copy, being new, but still having continuity so it fits? So, you know, we found that the Go-Giver idea, living with a spirit of generosity, being not only a noble thing, but a practical thing. Like it's beneficial for the generosity giver as well as for the recipient, right? That principle not only works in business and sales and management and organization, it worked equally well in leadership and in influence for the negotiation book and in sales for the sales book. And guess what? Marriage, actually not so different. In fact, there's a chapter in the original Go-Giver book. It's the only chapter where you see Joe, the hero, along with his wife, Susan. It's a short little chapter. And in that chapter is somewhere in the middle. And it's, for me, it's kind of the moment where Joe starts to get the idea. He starts to get it. It's the turning point of the book. And right there in that chapter, there was the seed of a book about marriage and relationships, which is, you know, again, it's just about people. You can apply the principles in this book largely to, you know, we were saying this earlier before we started recording, to employees, to colleagues, to customers, to clients, to, you know, to people. So in one sense, no, it wasn't difficult. In another sense, yeah, it's difficult because you want every story to be fresh, every story to be new. And so it's always a challenge because you don't just want to be a pale copy of some other book. I will say that there, for people who know the other Go-Giver books, there are characters from all of the other books who make an appearance in this book. And that was really, really fun for us to do, to weave those in. The book is in two parts. It's a parable, like the other Go-Giver books, followed by a really substantial practical guide. In that way, it departs from the other Go-Giver books in that the back section is sort of equal size to the parable. And this was a little different for us, for me, than the other Go-Giver books. I largely wrote the parable with tons of input from Anna. She largely wrote the guide with some input and editorial fussiness from me, because this is her expertise and because she's a gifted writer and because she had a lot to say. So that was fascinating. And finding our way to that balance in that model was a process. We didn't know when we started that there was going to be this guidebook in the back. We didn't know how thoroughly and extensively we would go into this sort of the psychological basis for these simple principles in the story. But, you know, once Anna began to express herself, you know, there it is. There's all this material. So, yeah, it was the same and different.
That's fantastic. You got anything you want to jump in?
Yeah, it's actually that practicality that I adored about the book. I loved that it was a very simple things that you can do that make huge impact. There was a line that I can't remember what page, but it's talking about those small habits.
Yes.
Like I'm reading the book, The Atomic Habit, right now. And, right. You know, starting out a new exercise routine, it's like the small things that you do daily is what really makes things grow. And I thought, gosh, that's just, it's something because you can neglect a marriage. Even, you know, I think we have a very good marriage. How can we make it better?
Yes.
So I really appreciated all those tips, those examples. It's like, how do I love Sam better? So for me, that was just very impactful.
Changing a marriage is not like being an ocean liner. It's like being a tugboat. It's not grand dramatic gestures. It's not, well, you know, we need to go around the world on a 60-day vacation to reignite our relationship. No. Let's be practical. It's the little things, it's exactly what you're saying, Elizabeth. It's the little things we do every day. They're so easy not to do and to forget and take for granted, but they're so important to do, to notice, to take action on.
Absolutely.
I was just going to add that when I'm coaching somebody, and you know, the thing that also is unique and different about this model is that, you know, traditional marriage therapy puts the two of you in a room together with the therapist.
Yes.
And you talk over what's going on in your relationship, what's wrong, what's right, and what can you do to improve it. And it's difficult because you get two egos in the room that want to be right. And I find as a therapist, I spend a good portion of the session needing to not take sides, number one, and also unwinding the I'm right over here versus the I'm right over here.
Mm-hmm. We never have that problem.
And that can be,
thank heavens.
It can be really challenging. It can be very, very challenging. In this model, I truly believe, and you know, as you know from one of the characters in the book, used to be a family therapist and then became a coach. I actually coach individuals. And when I start a session with somebody, say I'm coaching one of you, I always start the session by saying, you know, sort of what happened this week? What was successful? What did you use? Which secrets did you focus on? And tell me the exact stories of what happened and what was the response. And it's so interesting. People will be like, well, I just never dreamed that taking the time to authentically appreciate my husband or my wife would have such an impact. But I had a husband on the phone recently who said, I told my wife, I said, you know, you're not just beautiful. Your spirit is beautiful. You're really a wonderful mother. And some days I walk by it all the time and I don't tell you often enough. And he said, she burst into tears. And she burst into tears and she said she just hugged him. And then he reported that their intimate life picked up that week. And, you know, I said, a funny thing, how intimacy and feeling close to somebody has a real relationship, you know? And he was like blown away because he said it literally gave her like three compliments, you know, in 3 days. And then I expanded it to 2 compliments a day after that. And he said, it was like an explosion of love came my way. It was really appreciating her, just really taking the time to appreciate her, not a compliment, not like you look pretty today, but a very authentic appreciation.
And what I was going to add is that when you do that, you not only influence and affect the other person, you change yourself.
Right.
Because I already know how much I love Anna. It's like, that's like why I married her. I mean, it's not a surprise to me. It's not new information, but it's so easy for it to recede into the background of our lives because we're all busy. We have challenges. It's so easy for it to recede out of our consciousness. And so when you start actually pointing out to the other person, I really appreciate the fact that you take care of, like I take care of our bills, but for some reason, getting insurance, health insurance is just like something that it makes me cross-eyed. I can't face it. I don't know why. And Anna just picked up that ball and carried it and ran with it to the end zone. It's like, wow, this is like years later. I'm still thanking her for it. Thank you so much for taking care of our health insurance. I don't know why I couldn't do it. It's easy to forget to thank each other for the little things, let alone the big things that mean so much. But that, like, once we thank them once, isn't it kind of over? Nuh-uh, it's not over. It's never over. Your life goes on every day. the little things, the little appreciations, the little gestures, the little thank yous, the little notices, they are what build your relationship all over again every day. It isn't a built and done and finished thing.
And I think that's probably, as you guys pointed out in the book, that's the problem with most relationships that are going the wrong way, if you forget those things. And by the time you forget that far gone, well, that's a problem. I actually printed out the page that goes through all the descriptions of each five of them to put on my mirror at home in my bedroom so I can remember that, because it's so easy. It's like three compliments for Sam. I can easily think of three things. I need to remember to think of three things.
That is so great.
Yeah, no, you guys did a great job summarizing those.
It isn't just that you start to forget the little appreciations and things, but it's also when you start to forget those, guess what starts to take their place? The seesaw rises, and suddenly, or gradually, the little criticisms, the little irritations, the little things you kind of wish that person would do differently, they start to creep into your mind, and they're like weeds in a garden. And man, they will take over that garden and just choke out the soil until suddenly, you know, it doesn't look healthy like this lovely tree we have. Yeah. So
the reason that we put the opposite of each in the back of the book where we go into the explanations, the reason that I spent so much time premising the opposite of what appreciation is, which is criticism,
yes,
holding something in contempt in some ways. Those are, you know, some of the greatest marriage therapists in the world who I studied. I had the privilege of studying with Dr. John Gottman's team. And I had a supervisor when I was fresh out of grad school who was completely trained directly by him. And so I really got infused with what it really means to unwind that criticism that you'll see in a therapy room all the time, where one person is just criticizing the other one constantly. And it's really, it's dark, it's painful, it's using shame as a weapon. And those are the dynamics that will just tear a marriage apart. In the next few months, we're on a lot of podcasts, and some of them are podcasts that have to do with neurology. And one of the things neurologically about appreciation versus criticism is that they both will sort of take over a loop in the brain, in the same way that when you get hooked on junk food, it'll have a emotionally and psychologically for you where you'll crave junk food because your brain and your body has become, you know, sort of drawn in that direction. When you criticize constantly, you are really creating a loop that starts to get ingrained, and your brain actually looks for reasons to criticize and to hold the other person in a poor light. When you appreciate, not only builds, it actually protects your heart improves, it reduces depression, it raises happiness, it basically tells the brain to calm down. You know, appreciation makes the brain go, oh yeah, I can relax now. There's just so many different neurological levels to this as well. So that was a real part as we were designing The Secrets, to really look at sort of what are the things that we bump into in a marriage therapy room? What are the really hard things to overcome? And what are the opposing side of it neurologically and personally?
We talk in the book about the scorecard. And interestingly, that we talked about that in the original Go-Giver book too. This idea of the scorecard of like, well, I cooked dinner three times this week and you only cooked dinner two times this week. So I kind of think you owe me something. And that's a silly example, but they are silly examples and they get big too. It's like, I put up with your in-laws. The least you could do is, you know, do X, Y, Z. We start to think about this, comparing the lists of who got what and who didn't get what. It's the scorecard. And the scorecard is lethal. The scorecard is insidious. The scorecard is poison. But here's the more important thing about that. It's addictive. It's like, this is what exactly because of what Anna's saying. It's neurological. Once you start getting into that groove of the scorecard, when you go to stop, it's like withdrawal. It can be like that, like withdrawal. It's like you get so accustomed to criticizing, and not necessarily out loud. I think like an iceberg with the bulk of underwater, the bulk of our criticizing happens inside our head. We never even give it voice. So the other person doesn't even hear it. We may not even be aware of it sometimes, but in the back of our mind, we have this voice like, no, why did you do this? No, I didn't do that. And that cuts a groove in your brain, which is addictive. So what's the way out? It's just exactly, it's these secrets, these five secrets, but it's what I was talking about. When you start to make a habit consciously out of looking for the things you appreciate, looking for the things you're grateful for, it starts to flip you out of that scorecard. And it sounds easy. It sounds like simple, it's not necessarily so simple because of that, the addictiveness of that criticizing mindset, but it's certainly doable. It's just a question of daily practice.
And going back to the idea that, you know, this is obviously a book on marriage, and I appreciate that, but the principles here, this transcends, you know, not just marriage,
yes,
but I'm thinking even to, you know, kids that are very difficult, to employee, to employer relationships.
Yes.
I mean, if you are a hypercritical employer, you know, that's going to make another toxic. You may not even see the great things they're doing and may think you have a terrible employee when in fact they might be just great and you're hypercritical. I mean, so there's so many ways to go through this. And for those of you who are listening to this or watching this, you know, you may not know that the back of the book, Anna, you've taken time and John as well, of course, to put the 5 secrets to lasting love. I know we've talked about the first one, which is appreciate. But one of the questions I had for you, Anna, is how did you come up with the rest of them? You know, with the time you have left, I'd love to kind of hear quickly, you know, what those 4 things are and then what their counterparts are. Do we have time for that?
Absolutely.
Great. The second,
John, why don't you do that? Well, I'll start with it. Yeah. The second, you sure you want to go into all 5 secrets in a podcast?
Can I start with that something, with this idea? First off, for those of you who know The Go-Giver, there are 5 laws of stratospheric success in The Go-Giver. The 5 secrets in The Go-Giver marriage are related to those. They don't live in an isolated universe because they're universal. They're human principles. You know, if you look at them side by side, you'll see the connections. Yeah, we can do a quick overview of these 5. Do you want to talk about number 2 a little bit?
Sure. The second is attend. And to attend to somebody is to really truly tune to their channel, to pay attention to them in a way that you are giving to the things that they desire. And I'll tell you, for me, one of the ways I attend to John is the guy loves to eat. And I know the secret. I am the woman that knows the way to his heart. So I can, and I love to cook, and I adore cooking. So I like to spoil him like crazy with his favorite things. And I even make favorites of his from his childhood, things that his mother made that he adored. But you know, it's like things like that. I also, you know, as John said earlier, I co-founded the first Chinese medical college in New England. And so I am actually a body worker as well. And so I love to work on John. I love to, you know, give him a really good massage, Chinese style massage on his back and his shoulders. He spends a lot of time writing every day and, you know, he needs the work. So it's just, in some ways, it's just the simplicity of ways that you attend to the person and ways that you take care of them, ways that you actually make conscious decisions to nurture them, take care of them in specific ways. I have multiple men clients that bring their wives flowers all the time. It's one of the ways they attend to them because their wives love flowers. I have a client, a guy again, he knows his wife loves orchids. He will see a gorgeous orchid at the store and he'll bring it home to her, you know? And it's like, he said she melts every time because she said she can never have enough of them. So it's things like that. The opposite of it is really about neglect. And I think that when we get into marriages, we go on to cruise control.
Yes.
We get in that like, okay, and I hear this from women and men. The minute I got married, I felt safe. So I didn't feel like I had to do anything anymore.
Wow.
And the thing is that when people are dating, and this is a common joke in therapy circles, when they're dating, you know, the woman's got on perfect makeup and her hair looks great. She's wearing the most beautiful outfit and she's just really attractive. And, you know, he's looking his best too. And they're bringing the best of themselves forward in that moment, all the way right through to the wedding. And then something starts to go downhill after, because it's like, okay, it's the deal is sealed now. I can be myself. And therefore I don't have to put on this same energy to get there. And it's really a false premise. You know, it's like, it's just the beginning of the road, and the merging of 2 people into a household is more complicated than most people realize. And so it's just really important not to neglect, to continually stay in that place of paying attention.
I'd like to just add to the attend piece, which is in the book. There's, it's a parable, as I said in the beginning, but also there's a sort of a fairy tale within the parable. And in that, there's a young man and a princess. And at one point, the young man brings the princess her favorite tea, cinnamon tea, in bed in the morning. And at night, she gives him a massage on his aching shoulders. That's Anna and me. That's where that comes from. we are those characters in that moment. And that's our example of attend in that particular part of the story. So that's the second secret. The third secret is called allow. And allow is an interesting, it's in a way the most subtle, I think, of the five secrets, because allow doesn't mean let the person walk all over you. It doesn't mean to be a doormat or a martyr. What allow means having the consciousness of giving the other person space, of being there for the other person. Allow often shows up when there's trouble and stress and difficulty. Allow is when the other person is not doing well, or when they're having a hard time, letting them be that way. Allow fundamentally means letting the other person be who they are, the way they are, and not trying to change them. So the opposite of allow is to control. You know, some people are more overtly controlling, type A, you know, extroverted, controlling kind of people. Some people are much more quiet and passive about it, but control shows up in many ways. Control is really wishing the other person were different than they are. It's like, I love you, but I'd love you more if you would, you know, pronounce this word differently and wear that different pair of shoes and clean up this particular mess. And ye gods, I mean, roll the toilet paper that way, not this way. And if you would just clean your toothbrush up when you use it, and shall I go on? I mean, this is all control, all an attempt to control the other person. The attempt to control isn't a horrible thing in and of itself, but it breeds horrible things, because what you're doing is you're denying the person who they are. That's rejecting the person, and that's no way to build a relationship. That's secret.
And I'll add to that.
Please.
Go ahead, Anna. I want to hear the end of this, and I regret to say we're almost out of time, so maybe we can just get the last,
wrap it up.
Hear this, and then we'll get the last two, just what the item is and what the opposite is, and then we'll have to, unfortunately, out of time.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to let you take the next one too, John, because I want to talk about the last one.
Sure. Fine. So number four is, it's funny, in the Go-Giver, the fourth law is authenticity. Well, in the Go-Giver marriage, the fourth secret is trust. Mm. It's believing in the core of the person. Trust doesn't mean you think your spouse is the most wonderful creature in creation and is flawless and perfect. Nobody's flawless and perfect. Trust means belief in the person, means believing in the core of who they are. And that is unshakable. You know, even when you're you're in turmoil or whatever, in stress, you never lose sight of believing in the core of who they are. That takes time, I think, to develop for most people. The opposite of belief is really contempt. And contempt is, I'm not just criticizing you. I'm denying who you are as a person. I just think you as a person are flawed, are bad, are shameful. And contempt, you know, Anna mentioned John Gottman. Contempt is the seeds of destruction of a relationship. So belief is number four. And over to you, sweetheart.
And the last is to grow. And I think that people get into marriages, and I've seen it happen a lot with women, but I've seen it happen with men too, where they get really comfortable in their rut, if you will. And I see with women that they focus all their energy on raising children and on being a mother, and they neglect taking care of themselves. They neglect finding new avocations or pursuing new schools of thought or knowledge. And they don't spend the time becoming a more full and interesting person. And I think that when you stay in the rut of not growing personally, then you've limited what your partner gets to see of who you are. And you've also limited your own sense of personal growth and self-development. And I think that that's...
I'm sorry, I've seen men who are threatened when their wife starts to blossom professionally. And I'm like, are you crazy? You should be thrilled that they're doing that, because your unit, your family, your marriage, your relationship is just going to grow and soar as a result. It's going to make you bigger, not just them. It's for both of us.
Right, exactly. And the thing is that, you know, the term a Renaissance woman, you know, was defined years and years ago to define a woman who painted and who sang and who played the piano and who was well-read and who, you know, who had all these different interests, because she was somebody who was multifaceted. The same goes for men and women. It's like there's so many levels that are really significant and important. You know, our life doesn't begin and end at the gym or, you know, in places where we spend energy pursuing taking care of ourselves or bettering ourselves. There's so many different levels. And I've had a lot of clients that decided to go back to college, take on a new vocation, become a coach they'd never even dreamed of becoming. You know, we're starting a coaching program, the Go-Giver Marriage Coaching Program, and we're already getting, you know, from people that know that the book is coming, there, you know, inquiries about when is the program going to start? Because it's like, and these are people that may have spent years in business and or in real estate. I mean, they've been in different vocations, but they're saying to us, well, it's not like I want to drop my other vocation, but this is so fascinating to me. I could see myself doing this with people. And I love the content of the book so much. And the basis of it being a one-on-one coaching, you're not, you know, this is not the skill of a therapist having to unwind things. And you do get to stop the client and say, you know, we're coaching right now. We're not complaining about your husband. You know, I mean, it's like, it's a very different model, but it's a powerful model. And when you grow, you take yourself to another level of happiness as well, because everybody has ambitions and dreams and things that they would love to do. And, you know, somebody might want to refinish an old boat and rebuild it to become its former beauty, you know, and it might take them 3 years to do it, but it's an incredible thing to do. So, you know, it's not defined by just more education or, you know, losing 50 pounds. I had a client lose 68 pounds and they're a different person now. Yeah. I mean, and it was like something, it was a way they decided to give to themselves to grow.
This has been fantastic. I've certainly enjoyed it. John and Anna, thank you for taking the time to come on today. Thank you for writing the book and putting your hearts and souls into that. Mm-hmm. I know this will be an influential work. And so, yeah, this is absolutely fantastic. If our listeners want to get your pre-order offer, how do they go about doing that before the book goes live? And then lastly, what comes with it?
There's a website, which is simply gogivermarriage.com. And that's the book's website. And there is a special offer on there. If you pre-order the book before it comes out, March 8th. So if you buy it anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any bookstore, whatever, buy it through the website and follow the instructions on the site, send us your receipt. You get, first of all, a ticket to the fireside, the live Zoom fireside chat. We're going to do a Q&A format where people just bring us their questions, which we're going to do shortly after the launch of the book, exclusively for people who pre-order, plus two full-length video masterclasses that we did on the mindset of lasting love and resolving conflict. Those are the freebies that we wanted to give people.
And also podcast hosts are automatically in that as well. So thank you so much for hosting us, but we want to make sure that you know that you can come too. And we plan to make this a juicy fireside chat and just really get into dive deep into the dialogue with people and take questions. And I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I just want to thank you guys as well. I appreciate it on a very personal level. And I also want to put the nugget in there if you haven't thought about it. I want the go-giver parent. I think that this has all the makings. I read this through the lens of a new parent. So that's I'm looking forward to the pre-order of that book.
We'll talk.
We will talk. If you're interested in the interview, you know how to contact us.
John and Anna, thank you so much. Certainly appreciate it. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.